tempered plate glass doors. In commercial, light industrial, and institutional occupancies, firefighters may be faced with metal frame doors with tempered plate glass panels. These doors are heavy and very expensive. Tempered glass mounted in a metal doorframe can be very difficult to break. Unlike regular plate glass, tempered glass resists heat. When broken, it shatters into thousands of tiny cube-like pieces. Only as a last resort should you break tempered plate glass doors. If a tempered plate glass door must be broken, use the following guidelines. Use the pick end of a pickhead axe and strike the glass at the bottom corner. Wear complete PPE, including a helmet-mounted face shield or goggles to protect against eye injury. Place a salvage cover against the glass and strike through the cover to shatter the glass. Figure 9.36. Scrape any remaining glass from the frame. Note, if you want to avoid breaking the glass, you can also use the through-the-lock method to open tempered plate glass doors. Forcing sliding doors. Sliding doors consist of two glass panels mounted in wood, aluminum, or vinyl-clad material. One panel is stationary while the other slides in a track on small guide wheels or rollers. Sliding doors, sometimes called patio doors, are often found in single-family residential structures and apartment buildings. Locking devices include latches on the inside of the door and security bars placed in the track. Forcible entry techniques include breaking the glass with an axe or lifting the sliding panel up and out of its track. Attempting to spread the door from the frame will result in the door shattering uncontrollably. A second type of sliding door is the interior pocket door. It may consist of one or two door panels that slide into the adjacent wall. You can force pocket doors using the same techniques used to force a swinging door. Forcing security doors and gates. Firefighters will encounter security doors and gates in a number of forms, including roll-up doors, both manual and power-operated. Doors with open steel bars. Doors that consist of multiple slats that can be closed to form a solid panel. Security doors or gates will delay entry and will require planning to determine the most efficient form of entry. Some doors may have padlocks on the outside while others may have locks on the inside. If the lock is inside, there is usually a second means of entry into the structure. Forcible entry techniques include cutting off the padlock, using a rotary saw to make an opening near the lock, or cutting out a section of the door, figure 9.37. You should know the specific types of security doors and gates in your response area and practice the correct procedure for each. Through-the-lock forcible entry. The through-the-lock method is preferred for many commercial doors, padlocks, residential security locks, high security doors. Through-the-lock forcible entry requires a good size-up of both the door and the lock mechanism. Firefighters can use the through-the-lock entry method if the door does not open with conventional forcible entry methods. His technique is very effective and does minimal damage to the door when performed correctly. Skill sheet 9-4 describes three methods of forcing entry through a door lock. On some door locks, the lock cylinder can be unscrewed from the door. Storefront doors often have locks that can be unscrewed because it makes it easier for locksmiths to rekey the locks when occupancy changes. Removing the lock cylinder is only half the job. A key tool must then be inserted to open the lock in the same fashion as inserting a key, figure 9.38. The key tool is usually flat steel with a bend on the cam end and a flat screwdriver-shaped blade on the other. Along with standard forcible entry striking and prying tools, special tools may also be needed for this forcible entry technique. Some examples of these special tools include K-tool, A-tool, J-tool, shove knife, K-tool. A K-tool gripping a lock cylinder, left. Two firefighters setting a K-tool onto a door's lock cylinder. The K-tool is a V-blade tool useful in pulling lock cylinders. The K-tool is forced behind the cylinder's ring and face until the wedging blades bite into the cylinder. A metal loop on the front of the K-tool provides a slot in which to insert one end of a prying tool. A firefighter then strikes the top of the prying tool with a flathead axe or other striking tool to set the K-tool, figure 9.39. Once set, the firefighter uses the prying tool to pull the K-tool and the lock cylinder from the door. When a lock cylinder is located close to the threshold or jamb, the narrow blade side of the K-tool will usually still fit behind the ring. Some sliding glass doors have limited clearance, but only a half an inch, 13 millimeters, clearance is needed. Once the cylinder is removed, insert a key tool into the hole to move the locking bolt to the open position. A-tool. The A-tool is a prying tool with a sharp notch with cutting edges machined into it. The notch resembles the letter A. The A-tool can often accomplish the same job as the K-tool, but it can cause slightly more damage to the door. The A-tool was developed to force entry on locks manufactured with collars or protective cone-shaped covers over them to prevent the lock cylinder from being unscrewed. The A-tool is designed to cut behind the protective collar of a lock cylinder and maintain a hold so that the lock cylinder can be pried out. The curved head and long handle are then used to provide the leverage for pulling the cylinder, figure 9.40. The chisel head on the other end of the tool is used when necessary to gouge out the wood around the cylinder for a better bite of the working head. Use the A-tool when pulling protected deadbolt lock cylinders and collared or tubular locks. J-tool. The J-tool is a device made of rigid, heavy gauge wire designed to fit through the space between double swinging doors equipped with panic hardware, figure 9.41. The J-tool is inserted between the doors far enough to allow the tool to be rotated 90 degrees in either direction. A firefighter can then pull the tool until it makes contact with the panic hardware. The firefighter then makes another sharp pull, and the tool should operate the panic hardware and allow the door to open. Shove knife. This flat steel tool, resembling a wide-bladed putty knife with a notch cut in one edge of the blade, can provide firefighters rapid access to outward swinging latch-type doors. When used properly, the blade of the tool depresses the latch, which allows the door to open, figure 9.42. Forcing padlocks. Firefighters must be capable of forcing either the padlock itself or the device to which it is fastened. Firefighters can use conventional forcible entry tools to break a padlock or detach the hasp to gain access, figure 9.43. The following tools are available to make forcible entry through padlocks easier, figure 9.44. Duck-billed lock breaker, wedge-shaped tool that will widen and break the shackles of padlocks, much like using the hook of a Halligan-type tool. Insert this tool into the lock shackle and strike the tool with a maul or flathead axe until the padlock shackles break. Hammerhead pick, has a pick on one end of the tool head and a hammerhead or striking surface on the other. Insert the pick into the padlock shackle and strike the tool with a maul or flathead axe until the padlock shackles break. Locking pliers and chain, lock the locking pliers firmly onto the body of the padlock. To keep the padlock stable, hold onto the chain. To cut both shackles, another firefighter uses a power saw or torch. Hockey puck lock breaker, pipe wrench, adjust the pipe wrench to grip the hockey puck lock firmly. Apply downward pressure to the end of the wrench's handle to twist the lock and break its interior mechanism. Skill sheet 9-5 describes several methods of forcing entry through a padlock. If these techniques fail to break the padlock, break the hasp or detach it from the doorframe. If the shackle of the padlock exceeds a quarter inch, 6 millimeters, and the lock, including the body, is case-hardened, the firefighter faces a more difficult forcible entry task. Using a rotary saw with a metal cutting blade or a cutting torch may be the quickest method for removing some padlocks. High-security padlocks are designed with heel and toe shackles. These shackles will not pivot if only one side of the shackle is cut. Cutting padlocks with a power saw or torch can be somewhat dangerous. Use the following techniques for removing this type of padlock. Stabilize the lock with a set of locking pliers. Attach a chain to the lock and pull it straight away from the hasp. Request a second firefighter to cut both sides of the padlock shackle with the saw or torch. Forcing overhead doors. When forcing overhead doors, use a rotary saw to cut a square or rectangular opening about 6 feet, 2 meters, high and nearly the full width of the door. Once you have access to the interior, use the lift mechanism to open the door fully. Use cribbing or shoring blocks to prevent overhead doors from closing unintentionally. Attach a pair of vice grips, locking pliers, to the overhead door rail above head height to keep the door from closing, figure 9.45. Forcing fire doors. Fire doors are movable assemblies designed to cover doorway openings in rated separation walls to prevent the spread of fire from one part of a building to another. Types of standard fire doors include sliding, swinging, and overhead rolling varieties. Fire doors are normally found on the inside of structures, separating one area from another, enclosing a hazardous process or storage area, or protecting a means of egress, exit path such as a protected stairway. Exterior fire doors are usually found where a structure must be protected from an adjacent exposure. Because the door is on the outside of the structure, it will probably be locked. Forcible entry should be similar to any other overhead or sliding door. Interior fire doors will be activated manually or automatically when the fire is detected. Because these doors only operate when there is a fire, they will not lock in place when closed. When passing through an opening that a fire door protects, block the door open to prevent it from closing, blocking a means of egress or cutting off the hose line water supplies, figure 9.46. Fire doors are a part of the protection system in the structure. However, there may be times when you may need to force fire doors. They are positioned to create separations with higher than normal fire resistance ratings. Leaving fire doors in place is preferable, much like not interfering with sprinkler systems. Use caution when propping these doors open or forcing them because it also changes the flow path.